This is Church Alive's Teaching of the Week by Pastor Gene Amoson. For additional teachings or information about the church, go to churchalive.net.
Well, hey, it's good to see you this morning. Y'all, again, welcome to At the Movies. This is our summer series that we like to do. Maybe this is kind of new to you, and you're like, Pastor Gene, what in the world is going on right now? Let's talk about it. What we want to do in this series for 4 weeks is we want to learn some good lessons from some movies that we think are going to be ones that you enjoy. And you may think, okay, this is unusual for a church. And some of you, you may be thinking, I got popcorn in my hand right now. I'm good with whatever you want to do. But all that to say, where did this idea come from? Well, churches a while back started doing this, but check out Matthew 13. It says, Jesus always used stories and illustrations like these whenever speaking to the crowds. In fact, he never spoke to them without using such parables. This fulfilled what God had spoken through the prophet. I will speak to you in parables, and I'll explain things hidden since the creation of the world. Y'all, that prophecy there in verse 35 actually comes from Psalm 78, verse 2. So Jesus, the greatest teacher that's ever existed, right? The greatest teacher used stories. He used illustrations, and that's what we're doing with this series today. We can think about this, that like C.S. Lewis, for instance, he used fantasy to teach us about Jesus, like with the Chronicles of Narnia. So that's what's going to be happening for the next 4 weeks here at Church Live. Really want to encourage you to be here next week. We've got a movie that your kids are absolutely going to love. But at the same time, parents, you are going to enjoy it as well. Our family went and saw it a couple years ago, and it was like, I laughed a lot in it. So we wanted to pick one that that you'd enjoy. So make sure you're here for that next week as well. Have you noticed that a lot of times we can watch a TV show or maybe a movie, and a lot of times there'll be truth that's revealed to us, right? Truths about the human heart. Well, we're going to see that in today's movie. Of course, today's movie is Top Gun Maverick. And most of you, I don't know if you've seen this. Let me just ask you, do we have any 80s kids in here today? I'm talking about Camaro driving, block riding, mullet wearing like 80s kids. Have we got any? I know we got at least one right down here. So maybe y'all remember the original Top Gun from 1986. I was in third, fourth grade, something like that. So I was kind of young. But this movie today, it was based on that one, of course. It was the highly anticipated sequel. In 2022, Top Gun Maverick made $1.3 billion. That's a lot of money right there. And of course, it's about an elite Navy combat group of pilots in this school, and it's called Top Gun. The original Top Gun, though, was huge. Everybody fell in love with the characters. Everybody fell in love with the jets, with the dogfights. Regina and I, the other night, we were driving back from Mobile, and I said, let's talk about our bucket list. And I started thinking, you know, like, what things do I want to experience before I check out? And I had been working on this, and I was like, I don't know if it's ever possible, but I want to get in one of these jets. I mean, I'd probably have to sell the house and everything. I mean, it's probably not even possible. But, you know, these jets, whenever you watch this movie, I don't know about you, it's just incredible to watch. Amen. So maybe you remember the first Top Gun. Maybe you saw Top Gun Maverick. But the original one had, like, Tom Cruise. Of course, he's Maverick. You had his wingman, Goose. Then you had his rival, Val Kilmer. And does anybody remember Val Kilmer, what he was called in the movie?
Iceman.
Y'all are on it, man. Iceman, that's right. So if you're an 80s kid in here, if you remember the original, let's see if this brings back any memories. I mean, that original Top Gun, it was so good. Y'all, this is, though, kind of early in Tom Cruise's career. This is before he ever made a Mission Impossible movie. This is before he was, of course, in the Jerry Maguire movie. And here it is, based on 30-plus years after the original. And I don't know if you saw earlier in the movie. I mean, Tom Cruise looked pretty stinking good for 30-plus years later. I haven't really held my age that well in the last 30 years, and I don't know if that's the wonders of Botox or what, but he looked pretty stinking good. But whenever this movie opens, he's in the Mojave Desert, and what he's doing is he's testing fighter jets. At this point in his life, he's still single. At this point in his life, he still has no kids. He's a bachelor. But he's called up to train some new pilots, this new group of elite pilots, and the mission almost seems impossible. So here's our question today. Is the old Maverick, the one from 30-plus years ago, is he up for this job? Because, y'all, It was going to be a mission like no other. Today, pretty cool line right there. So whenever you look at this movie, it hits on some major themes. Themes like love, things like honor, sacrifice, courage, and bravery. But there's a ton of conflict throughout the movie. So Maverick, just as a heads up, he's informed that he's been basically called out to train these new fighter pilots. It's a new group of elite pilots that are coming up, but he's not supposed to fly the mission. He's merely teaching these guys what they need to do. The whole plan is that they've got to go into enemy territory and blow up a nuclear enrichment facility. But his role, again, isn't to fly. He's got to take these young pilots and he's got to get them ready for this mission. Now, this is a really interesting group, a lot of different personalities. Let's check out who all the pilots are real quick. These different pilots, he's got Payback, of course, he's got Rooster, Phoenix, got Fanboy, and Hangman. Now, just so you know, these guys are all going to be trained up for this mission, and they're really unsure if the pilots are ever going to return from it because it's such a dangerous mission. But there's a twist in the story. Now, earlier we were talking about the fact that some of y'all remember the different characters from the original Top Gun. Remember, we talked about Iceman, but who was his wingman? Do we remember who that was? That was Goose, right? So Goose, his son actually is part of this group. His son's name is Rooster. That's interesting. Goose and Rooster. So he's one of the pilots in this group that Maverick's going to be training. And because of that, there's some instant tension that you're going to feel throughout the movie. Just to give you a heads up, if you didn't see the original Top Gun, Goose died whenever he was flying with Maverick. Maverick got a little careless whenever he was flying, and he was a little bit of a rebel, had quite an ego, and anyway, Goose and Maverick had to end up ejecting. Well, Goose didn't survive. Maverick did. And so what you've got is you've got this guy, Rooster, whose dad died while he was flying with Maverick, so there's an issue there. And then also, Rooster's upset with Maverick as well because he finds out that he delayed his entrance into the Naval Academy. What Rooster doesn't realize is the fact that Maverick did it trying to protect him because it was Rooster's mother's dying wish that her son not get into the Naval Academy. And so Maverick's trying to help his mom out and just really respect her wishes. But what we see is there's that instant tension. Rooster's not happy with Maverick. So let's think about this today. Let me ask you a question. Is there somebody in your life that you're holding a grudge against? Maybe somebody who has hurt you. Maybe somebody who you feel like has done you wrong. Maybe they let you down. Maybe you felt like they were your wingman, but then something happened, and so now the relationship just isn't the same. It's strained. Today, we're calling our teaching Flying Forward. Flying Forward. And the whole theme that we're going to look at today, the main thought is this, is that you can't fly forward if you're tied to the past. We cannot fly forward if we're tied to the past, right? How many of y'all, like me, have parts of your life, maybe parts of your story that you wish that you could redo? You wish you could hit the rewind button and go back and hit play again, right? You wish you could redo it. I'm that way. Maybe you've had a relationship that just went south. Maybe there was abuse. Maybe you made a poor decision and hindsight, you're like, man, I really hurt a lot of people. I hurt family. I hurt friends because of that poor decision that I made. Maybe it was something with a close family member or a very close friend. Something went down, and so you've got this tension there between you, and you so wish that it wasn't there anymore. I want you to hear me today. We're going to have trouble moving forward if we're always hanging on to that past. Isaiah 43 says this in verse 18, and this is powerful. It's so simple. It says this. It says, forget the former things. You see that? Do not dwell on the past. And then in 19, it says, see, I am doing a new thing. I'm doing a new thing. I want you to hear me today. Whenever it comes to relationships, the heart of God is always for restoration, and it's always for renewal. Amen? The heart of God is for restoration. Even whenever there's been significant hurt in the past, whenever it's with relationships, with family or friends, God's saying that he can help us to forget that past, and he can also help us to move forward without that pain affecting us. He's all about new beginnings. Our God's all about new beginnings, amen? But we have to be willing to let go, and some people, they just have a really hard time letting go, and we actually see that with Maverick. He had a really hard time letting go of what took place with Goose losing his life while they were flying. He just couldn't get over it. But there's a moment whenever he meets with Iceman in Top Gun Maverick in the new movie. And Iceman, of course, was played by Val Kilmer. In case you didn't know this, Val Kilmer was literally dealing with throat cancer while he filmed the movie, passed away just under 3 years after the movie came out. So in the movie, Val Kilmer's not able to speak really because of what he's actually going through in real life. But Maverick and Iceman are talking, and Iceman types on a computer, and he tells Maverick just five words that he types out. He says, it's time to let go. It's time to let go. And Maverick in the movie, he tears up, and he responds by saying this. He says, but I don't know how to let go. Learning to let go, y'all, is a prerequisite for moving forward. Okay? We've got to, because if we don't, we're going to end up just staying stuck. Whenever you talk about fighter pilots, there's a term that's used, and it's a term called ACE. I don't know if you've ever heard this term, but it refers to a fighter pilot that has shot down five or more enemy aircraft in combat. If we want to become relationship aces today, and what we're going to do, we're going to use the A, the C, and the E in ACE. If we want to become relationship aces, a mature believer who God uses, there's a few things that we're going to have to do, and we're going to pull this today from Matthew 5. So you guys ready to go? Good deal. Verse 43 of Matthew 5, it says, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, whenever we see the word perfect there in that scripture, it doesn't mean morally perfect, right? It doesn't mean that. What it means is for us to be whole, for us to be mature, for us to be complete. And these are difficult commands that Jesus just gave us. Just as a heads up, these weren't suggestions he made. This is what he tells us. This is what he's commanding us to do as believers in him. And Rooster felt like Maverick had hurt his family, and so Rooster couldn't love Maverick. And then you've got Maverick, who had a hard time loving this guy because he felt like he absolutely hated him. But Jesus said, love your enemies. And whenever he says that, Jesus is talking about something that we call agape love. Maybe you've heard that term before, agape love. Whenever you define agape love, it's this, it's invincible goodwill, it's generosity, it's kindness towards others. You know, it's that fierce and unconditional love that God offers us every day of our life. And it's the same kind of love that he wants us to offer people that honestly have upset us, even people that have hurt us in the past. And so whenever we look at our ACE up there, that first one, the letter A, is agape love your enemies. Agape love your enemies. From our scripture just a moment ago, notice that Jesus didn't tell us to like them, but to actually love them, to show them love, right? To show them compassion, to show them forgiveness. Because how many of y'all are grateful? That's what he shows us every day. He forgives us, right? He's compassionate with us. Thank the Lord. He loves us. That's what he shows us. Now, how many of y'all, you have people in your life that you love, and it's not even hard to love them? Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? That's good. That's good. As believers in the fact that half of y'all are married, I'm hoping you can say that about your spouse, right? Maybe you're like, it is work to love them. Now, there's a lot of people in our lives that we can just love, and it's just so easy to love them, right? Well, I want you to know this. Agape love is making an intentional decision where we say, no matter what, we're going to love this person. No matter if we feel like they did us wrong, no matter if they hurt us, we're going to do what Jesus says, and we're going to love this person. We're going to treat them with goodwill. We're going to treat them with kindness, with respect, even if we don't feel like they deserve it. That's what agape love is. It's a decision that, y'all, we have to make up here. And whenever we make that decision up here, then our heart will follow. And so agape love is not the easiest thing, but it's what we're told to do in Scripture. So in the movie, we see a moment whenever Maverick and Rooster are talking, and Rooster tells Maverick, he says, listen, my dad believed in you. He said, but I'm not going to make that same mistake. And we can tell that Maverick was really hurt by that, so let's check that out. You'd like to get one of those planes too, right? I mean, wouldn't that be pretty incredible? Obviously, Rooster feels like Maverick hurt his family. I mean, we can tell that. He's really bitter most of the movie. And you may wonder, how in the world can I love somebody who's hurt me? Some of you may be thinking that today. Well, Jesus tells us to pray for them. That's what he says in verse 44. He says, but I tell you, love your enemies and do what? Pray. Pray for those who persecute you. So our second step to becoming a relationship ace, that C is this, is we're going to commit to pray for them. We're going to commit to pray for them. Yet you pray for them, even though you may not feel like they have done you right. You pray for them, even though you've maybe been upset with them for a while. We're supposed to pray for them because Jesus tells us to what? To pray for them. And can I go ahead and just get honest with you for a minute? We don't pray that they get run over by a bus. That's not the kind of praying for them we need to do. We need to like pray good things over them, right? We need to pray that God's going to bless them. I mean, look at what Luke 6:28 says. It says, bless those who curse you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. You pray for God to bless them. You pray for God to forgive them. You pray for God to pour out his grace on them. And understand that prayer, y'all, is the precursor to love, because, hear me today, it's not possible to hate anybody whenever you're in the presence of the Lord praying for them. Come on, somebody. It's not possible to hate anybody whenever you're spending time with the Lord and whenever you're praying for them. Now, I know that there are some people in the world that they would just rather hold on to that grudge that they've had. They would rather hold on to that hurt that they've been dealt. And y'all maybe know some of these people because they let everybody know about it. It's like they're an evangelist that just want to tell the news of how they were hurt. And what they want to do is they just want to hold on to that versus letting it go. Can we get real? Those kind of people are miserable on the inside. Can we also get real that whenever we decide to hold on to that stuff, it affects us mentally? It also affects us physically as well. Let me go ahead and just get honest with you. It's going to affect the way you treat your spouse. It's going to affect the way you treat your children. It's going to affect how you operate at work. I'm telling you, every one of us, we need to get rid of that mess. Amen. We need to get past that. And if we're serious about our walk with God, and if we want to move forward, then we've got to do what we're reading about today in Scripture. Whenever you pray for your enemies or those who have hurt you, a couple of things are going to happen. And I think this is great. First of all, God can change their heart, but let me tell you what's more likely to happen. God's going to work on you. God's going to work on me whenever I'm praying for those people that I've been hurt by, or for those people that I have just kind of had some tension with. He'll give us a heart for that person whenever we begin to pray for them. For that person whenever we begin to pray for them. Now, praying for your enemies doesn't mean that relationship is going to go right back to being perfect. It's not what that means, right? But it means that we can begin to treat them with goodwill, and we can hope God's best for them. We need to pray for people to be blessed by the Lord, even people that we feel like have hurt us. A guy who really was kind of like a spiritual father to me for years, I remember there was somebody that had just said some things actually about my dad, and I was not taking it well. Anybody ever been that way before? It's just like, hold on, you talk about my family, we're going down, right? I mean, it's going to get ugly. And I remember just talking to this guy and just kind of airing it out one day, and he said, Gene, he said, you need to start praying for God's mercy on that person. And I was like, I'm praying that they get hit by a train. That's what I'm praying for right now. I just got to be honest. He's like, that's not the, and it was great because he took a moment to speak into my life, to speak truth to me. He said, understand, you know, your dad is a pastor. He said, they're speaking against your dad. He said, God doesn't take that lightly whatsoever. He said, Gene, you need to begin to pray for God's mercy on them right now. And you know, as we began to pray, God started to work on my heart a little bit. I can't say that I prayed for him constantly, but I remember Dan Helmenthaler was the guy. He really spoke into my life about that. But you know, whenever we're around them, then we can treat them well. And maybe we still felt like, you know, this just didn't go the way I wanted it to. Again, begin to pray for them and God can change your heart. Look at verse 44. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. Now, whenever we look at this, Jesus isn't talking about salvation there in that last line in verse 45 there. He's talking about us having a heart like the Lord, a heart like the Father. He's our Father, right? Here's a question that all of us, including myself, need to think about today. Whenever people look at me, is there any kind of family resemblance between me and my Heavenly Father? Whenever we love our enemies, we've got to understand we look like Him. Whenever we love those who we might consider enemies, those who have hurt us, and we've always got to remember that God loves us, of course, but He also loves that person that you feel hurt you. He loves everyone. Y'all, He loves atheists who say they don't even believe that He exists. He loves people who sin every day and break His heart time and time again. Y'all, He loves every one of us. And so in the same way that He loves us, we've got to work on ourselves so that we can love others as well. Think about this. Even Jesus, while He was being nailed to a cross, while He was being crucified, y'all remember what He told the Father? He said, forgive them. He said, forgive them, for they don't even know what they're doing, Father. Forgive them. And so that's our third part of ACE right there. That's our E. Y'all, we've got to extend forgiveness. Amen? We've got to extend forgiveness. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you, as He forgave every one of us. And forgiveness is a hard word. Because everybody in here has a different story. Everybody in here has dealt with something that maybe somebody else doesn't know anything about, and they don't understand how you've been hurt. And I know that forgiving certain people can be a major task for us, and it may even seem impossible. But how did Jesus forgive us? Well, ultimately by sacrificing His life on a cross for every one of us. He gave His life for every one of us. And true forgiveness always costs somebody something, right? I mean, it always costs somebody something. Think about this. Forgiveness is actually paying the price for somebody else's sin. And isn't that what Jesus did for us? It's what He did for us. Now, I also want you to know this. A lot of times we think to ourselves, well, I'll forgive once they apologize. Has anybody ever felt that way before? Like, I'm just waiting on them to come and apologize. And whenever they do, I'm going to forgive them. Well, that is not the way of the cross. I want you to understand that. That's not the way God works. We're supposed to forgive people before, somebody say before they ever apologize. And there's a chance they're never going to apologize. We're supposed to forgive before they apologize. I mean, Romans 5:8, and I love to quote this verse. Look at what it says right here. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still, somebody say still. That means actively sinning, Christ died for us. He died for us. He didn't wait for us to apologize. And we're talking about mankind here. He didn't wait for us to ask for forgiveness. He didn't wait for us to you know, get saved or anything like that. He went on and gave His life for us when we were actively sinning. And true forgiveness is letting it go whether somebody apologizes or not. Y'all, that's just the way the Lord works. It's the way we're supposed to do it. It's us refusing to carry that hurt into the future. Hear me. I said it just a minute ago. Whenever you carry it into the future, it doesn't just affect you. It's not just up here and up here only. It affects your entire life. It affects those who you associate with and live with as well. Now, in the final climax of the movie, let's talk about this just for a minute. Maverick is actually called up not to just teach the guys, the team. They realize that if this whole mission is going to be successful, he's got to get into a plane, right? Because he's a better pilot than anybody that he was trying to train. And so they realize that Maverick's going to have to get into a plane. They've got to destroy a nuclear reactor. And they also realize there's a very good chance that they could miss their target. There's a very good chance that they could crash. There's a very good chance that they could get shot down as well. Whenever we look at like the last few minutes of the movie and that final scene, there's three great examples of agape love. And I want to share two of them with you real quick. The first one is this, is that as they race to the target, the enemy locks on Rooster, right? So he like locks his plane in on Rooster and he's about to completely like destroy Rooster's plane. And so Maverick has this choice that he has to make. Either he can just let Rooster get blown up or either he can get in front of it and ultimately take the hit himself. And that's what he does. He's willing to get in front of that shot, knowing that he may die from it, but he ends up taking the shot. So Rooster's life was ultimately saved. So that's the first thing. Second thing is this, is that after Maverick's plane goes down, he's like out in the middle of nowhere, and there's this helicopter that's about to completely mow him down. But in the last second, somebody, Rooster shows up and totally takes out the helicopter. How ironic. I mean, the timing's always perfect, isn't it? So Rooster saves them. And then the third thing that happens, just to give you a heads up, they're trying to get back to the aircraft carrier, and they're ultimately in a plane that they stole from the enemy that's pretty broke down, but apparently the keys got left in it, and they're just trying to get back to the aircraft carrier, and then this happens. Y'all check this out. You know, they said right there at the end, the female said this. She said Maverick is now an ace because he had shot down a total of five enemy aircraft. And, y'all, I think for our purposes today, we could say that he's an ace in agape love. It's a very powerful picture of self-sacrifice. And ultimately, that's what Jesus did for us. He said this in John 15:13. He said, greater agape, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. That's agape love. And again, it's what he did for us on the cross, ultimately putting us back in right relationship with the Father. So let me ask you this. A little while ago, whenever we got going, I asked you, I said, who is it that you were thinking about that maybe did you wrong? Have you got somebody in your life that maybe you've got a grudge that you've been holding? You've got some tension. The relationship's not where it used to be because of something that went down. Here's what I want to do. For the next 30 days, I want to challenge you to do something. First of all, let go of the grudge. And I know that can be hard, but hold on. Give it to Jesus. And I want you to make your mind up that ultimately you're going to agape love them, all right? You're going to treat them with kindness. You're going to treat them with goodwill. If you see them around, that you're going to commit to pray for them daily. Daily. Do it. 30 days. Give it a month. And you're going to see that the Lord's going to begin to change your heart and then extend forgiveness in the process as well. Now, I do want to say this. I know every situation here is different. And it could be that some of you, you're thinking, Pastor Gene, based on the situation, I can't get anywhere around them and ask for forgiveness or anything like that. That is perfectly understandable. It could be that just on the inside, you've just got to have moments with the Lord where you're like, Father, I forgive them, and I'm letting go of this now. Father, I'm giving this to you. And Lord, I want to let go of the past so that I can continue to move forward. Because again, if you hang on to that, it's going to affect the rest of your life. It's going to prevent you from truly ever being free. It's going to prevent your growth with the Lord as well. And so for your own good, forgive them. And maybe this is a relationship that you don't need to jump right back into. You know, there are certain relationships that sometimes there are seasons and they just end. But if you're on speaking terms with them, maybe call them and just say, listen, I just want to apologize. I've not held good feelings towards you. And make it quick and easy. Here's what you never do in a situation like that. You never start to do an instant replay of what happened. Because what it's going to do is just going to fire things right back up, right? And so what we do is just like Jesus, we just forgive and we go on. We ask for forgiveness in our situations and we go on. I also want to say this to you. You may be thinking to yourself, but you don't understand what I went through. You don't understand what they did to me. You're probably right. But I want you to know you still got to forgive them. And I also want you to know this. By forgiving them, it's not saying that what they did to you was okay. What you're doing is you're giving it to God and you're going to let Him deal with that situation. But you are being obedient to Scripture so that you can move forward. Come on, somebody say forward. So that you can move forward. Because if you keep hanging on to that, it's going to affect you. So, Father, I forgive them. And Lord, you can just deal with the situation. I don't want to deal with it any longer. Let Him deal with it. Amen. Lastly, maybe you need to forgive yourself because maybe you've thought, man, I've goofed up and I have messed up some things for my family or I've hurt some people. You know, the Lord forgives us every day. And y'all, we need to be able to forgive ourselves. We've all goofed up. We've all hurt people at some point. It's time to forgive yourself as well. Can you stand with me today? If you will, just bow your heads. Let's just close our eyes for a second. And with that person, maybe that's on your mind, and it may be more than one, right now, let's just spend a little bit of time with the Lord. And Father, I just want to thank you, God, that you're so good to forgive us. Lord, we mess up all the time, but you're always so faithful to forgive us. And we can't say thank you enough. Lord, you say in your word that whenever we forgive others that have sinned against us, that Lord, you will forgive us whenever we sin against you. So Lord, today we need to forgive. Come on, right now, just to yourself, just pray, Lord, I need forgiveness. Lord, we all need forgiveness. And I also want you to do this. With that person's name just on your mind, just say right now, Father, I release them. And just speak their name. Father, I release them into your hands. And then just ask the Father right now, say, Lord, just right now, set me free from any bitterness that I've been holding towards them, for any ill feelings that I've held towards them. And then last, I want you to do this, just right now to yourself, just speak God's blessings over them. Just say, Father, I bless them right now. Lord, just bless them in every aspect of their life. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the Church Alive Teaching of the Week with Pastor Gene Amoson. We invite you to join us for our Sunday morning worship service every Sunday at 8:45 or 10:30. Learn more at churchalive.net.